You're listening to XL Podcast, the perfect career exploration podcast for any student out there. Don't forget to hit that subscribe or follow button on all our platforms, Instagram, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Anchor to stay up to date with all the newest content. This episode is part 4 of the Student Initiative series, where we highlight the initiatives high school students have taken to excel in various career fields. This episode revolves all around politics, research, and technology, as well as more inspirational advice to help you excel with Divya Ganesan. Happy holidays, everyone. Now, I know for some people, this may not be the Christmas or the perfect holiday season to have that getaway, but we're going to hope that this episode is really going to brighten your mood and keep you in that Christmas spirit. So for this episode, we're not going to be in Virginia. We're going to go across the nation. We're going to go to the sunny state of California, and there probably one of the most innovative and brilliant high school seniors I've seen. She's done so much work in a variety of career industries. Divya Ganesan, how's it going, Divya?
Good. Thanks for having me, Neil. I feel pretty honored to be on this podcast.
No, I mean, it's an honor to be able to converse with you, and especially during this time, getting the chance to have this conversation and really just bring up my day as well. So before we really dive deep into specifics and really about your initiatives as well, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your career interests today?
Sure. So I'm a senior in the Bay Area, born and bred. And for all my life, I've been really interested in both leadership and politics and simultaneously technology. Mm-hmm. Growing up in Silicon Valley, it's kind of impossible to not be surrounded by that. And I've found that a lot of my interests lie in the intersection of both technology and policy, in figuring out how, as we as youth and citizens, can use the skills we're given to better our democracy in a way where I feel like things are pretty broken right now. So that's kind of me in a nutshell. I've been really involved with local government, both at my school and my local community in Palo Alto, but I've also been an advocate for women's rights at the international level and conducted research on topics I'm really interested in.
No, I mean, it really seems like you're taking a stand on like certain issues and certain messages. I think that's something students, like, if they have something they feel like they need to advocate for, they should do that. And I mean, you've done that. You've gone on the international stage, especially for women's rights, such a big issue. And that really, like, brings me, I'm curious, because you're a student, and especially in today's educational system, like, what have you really strived to advocate for, right? I mean, there's obviously so many changes, so many obviously improvements as well in today's educational system, but I'm curious to know, like, kind of what you strive for in today's educational system, and then kind of you, what you hope to do so as well in the future.
Yeah, no, that's a great question, Neil. I think for me, something that I've been passionate about really actually from like the end of the 2016 elections, where I felt like I was not only like resentful and confused, I felt like I had not engaged at all with people with diverse perspectives, especially living in a largely liberal, homogeneous place in California. And so something that I think that current high school education lacks is really adequate civic engagement resources and civil discourse resources. And when I say that, I mean that, yeah, sure, I think it's been pretty clear, especially in the last election, to get out the vote. Everybody knows to register to vote. We've seen social media campaigns for that, and that's great. And I think the piece that's missing is, so you've registered to vote. What do you do after that? How do you get educated about the candidates? How do you find your local polling booth? Do you have voting mailing at your school? When you're a college student, where do you get to actually, one, what are the voter ID laws? But two, do you vote in state or out of state? There are complicated voter logistics, and studies have shown that a lack of this type of education in high school specifically is actually really what attributes to lower youth voter turnout rates. So that is something that I've advocated for, is increased civic engagement resources in high schools. And I actually got a chance to work with Feminist Majority and publish an article in Miss Magazine about that topic, which was really exciting for me.
Yeah. I'm sure. But it really seems like, I mean, obviously you want students and really anyone to use their voice, but you still believe that there's like a lack of opportunities on really how to do that and how to like extend that to like everyone from your school all the way to like the international stage.
Yeah, exactly. You know, actually, Neil, let me ask you, what is like the political makeup of the community you're in? Is it mostly Republican, Democratic,
Oh,
independents?
I mean, Democratic for sure. I mean, like, even looking back on the like 2016 election, especially, like, I remember if we were looking at, like, I'm just speaking from the presidential election, but I remember like Trump was ahead in Virginia, and like Fairfax County, which is my community, they always send in our polls as like one of the late ones or closer to midnight. So I remember I was watching, and it just immediately flipped blue. Everyone went Clinton. So yeah, primarily Democratic.
Right. And, you know, like I felt pretty much the same living in Palo Alto. And I think that when you live in a community like that, it's so important that you actively seek diverse perspectives. And I think as high schoolers, we're not really taught to do that. And we actually don't really know, we don't have the skills to engage with people we disagree with. And so a lot of my work with Real Talk has been figuring out how do we teach high school students that it's not only okay to disagree, it's actually really needed to have a healthy democracy. And not only that, how do you get connected with other students who really don't believe the same thing as you and develop close relationships anyway?
No, that it's definitely seems like you're really making an impact with this organization. I mean, you kind of led us into one of your initiatives. Obviously, you've done so much work in not only like the political aspect, but also, as you said, like researching technology. So, let's talk about Real Talk first. Could you tell us a little bit about what it is, and obviously, like how's it going? What's kind of been your process during it, and obviously, like your big takeaway lessons, because I'm sure you've definitely learned a lot throughout this process.
Yeah, for sure. So Real Talk is a nonprofit organization that is dedicated to fostering empathetic, curious, and respectful civil discourse among high school students. And I've got to say, this initiative really started when I was talking with one of my classmates, Eliza Goller, about like our frustration with not being able to engage with diverse political perspectives and a feeling of not getting the whole picture. And almost like a fear of groupthink in our own community. And so we started to figure out, we created a club at my school my junior year. And our intention was really small. We just wanted to help our classmates and for ourselves as well, like learn about current events, dig deep into nuance, and learn about like the perspectives on things that we wouldn't normally hear. Like, for example, when we talk about economics and taxation, in my usual classrooms, all you're gonna hear about is how trickle-down economics does not work. And that very well is a great argument. The issue is that you can't believe that without knowing the other argument, and that's what's often not talked about. And so that's a good one example of the topics we need to talk about. And throughout that year, we worked really closely with about 16 students to develop this curriculum. And at the end of the year, we wanted to host a community-wide conference trying to share some of our learnings from this year, specifically about how we engage in political discussions online, which actually happens to be extremely irrelevant now as we are in COVID world. So we actually received a grant from the city of Palo Alto, and we were able to host a conference with about 130 attendees. And we brought in, you know, Alex Damos, former CSO of Facebook, Pui-Wing Tom, technology editor of the New York Times, and a bunch of people just kind of have a conversation about fake news, our hyper-polarized social media feeds, and the other challenges to having political discourse online. And to be honest, our intention with Real Talk was never to take it like national or to have a chapter system. It was really just to create an impact in our school community. But we left that conference with 8 or 9 students asking us if they could bring Real Talk to their schools. And so that's kind of naturally how we started to expand.
No, I mean, it's honestly something that I think we need more of, and it's something different too. I mean, you're really changing your perception on how you view certain issues, and I think honestly this is something I love to do as well. Really just have those conversations, whether even if they get uncomfortable, just have those conversations, sit down and really learn a new perspective. Because even when I'm talking here with you right now, I'm learning something that I don't know. And I think that goes to show that you learn something new every day. And really, before we move on to the other initiatives as well, I mean, there's so many moving pieces to this. I mean, especially how you've been able to bring on so many like different guest speakers and have those conversations, regardless of if they're uncomfortable or not. But really, what's your thought process through all this? Like, what are some of the of these skills or even mindset that has helped you to kind of continue to push through and bring out the message you're trying to really push out to the community?
Honestly, I think the biggest thing that I've learned is you need to use your peer network really well.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, none of this would have happened if I hadn't found Eliza Goler, who is my classmate. I not only think she's my incredible, she's my equal or better in every single way. And she is someone who I would honestly do anything with. And so being able to work in a partnership where we were collaborating and creating things we were really passionate about, but able to split up work and use our respective skills in different ways was incredibly valuable for me. And on the OPI, as soon as we started expanding Real Talk, I knew that the only way that the initiative was going to be successful is that if we had a really core group of student leaders who were really effective. And so the key is, like, you need to surround yourself and actively seek people who are really talented and motivated. And I'm really grateful that our Real Talk executive team, which are with our social media directors and our chapter leads, are all students who are not only incredibly passionate about civil discourse, but are really talented and organized and motivated. And that's really the success. It really isn't, honestly, I think that it's not really anything I've done. It's a lot of stuff that they've done that has really pushed Real Talk, which I appreciate.
No, I mean, I think, like, really the value of, whether it's like, I mean, obviously it seems like she's one of your best friends, but I think really taking the value of a relationship, whether it be like professional, as you said, like a friendship, and really using that to grow and kind of really seeking out whatever you want to, because especially you guys in your simple, like, one school or community, you wanted to make a change, and you've definitely done that with Real Talk. And I think that whole political aspect really brings into the next initiative. Like, you've definitely been a leader on, like, a variety of government councils, like the UN, the Politics Council. And really, I mean, for being a high school student, that's, I think, an incredible honor and an incredible achievement as well. So, like, how did that come to be? How did you really get that opportunity to work in such a political climate?
That's a good question. Actually, my experiences with both the UN and Palo Alto Youth Council were pretty different. I've been really involved with an organization called Girls Learn International since I was in, I want to say, like, second or third grade, where it was just kind of a simple club that I joined to start learning more about women's rights. And one of the opportunities the program gives you is that you can apply with over 10,000 students in the program nationwide to attend the United Nations as a youth delegate and be able to engage in certain committees and presentations that have you actually, like, work with resolution makers and members of the UN General Assembly as the Commissioner on the Status of Women. And so as a sophomore, I was able to be in this week-long, basically, lecture series, where one time I was actually sitting next to the Prime Minister of Iceland.
What?
Beyond incredible. But, like, hearing them talk about paid maternity and paternity leave, and then hearing the Prime Minister of Iceland give their spiel about what they've done and what America or what Uganda can do to better improve their work. And I found that what was probably most fulfilling for me about that experience is that the nuance about women's rights is that girls' rights, specifically, like, people under the age of 12, are often not really addressed as something different. And there are specific issues. One example of that is child marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is FGM, female genital mutilation, that are particularly important for member states to address as they apply to girls, but are often not addressed when it comes to, like, women in general. And so being able to be part of a committee as, like, a girl who wouldn't normally be represented in, like, the older member state representatives was really powerful. And, like, being able to actually make suggestions on the Google document of the resolution that they were creating. I used to do MUN, and I have to say, like, the real UN experience was very much the same.
Yeah.
Like, there's power delegates, you're working on a Google Doc all day or night, and it's equally fulfilling as well.
No, I mean, you're constantly working, you're getting the chance to work with, like, these really different people in politics, like the Prime Minister. I would be nervous just standing or sitting right next to them, but you got the chance to be able to talk on a variety of issues, like definitely sort them out. And I think it's great. I think it's you've definitely become like a role model in that sense, and taking a stand on these issues is really important. I think that's something students need to do, and like really just kind of stand out there. And going on to the next initiative, obviously we've covered a lot about politics, but I think the last one is definitely not something that should be valued less. It's definitely your like your research and technology initiatives, how you've, especially in the Bay Area, you've been able to kind of cultivate that passion. So, I mean, you've been a research assistant at Stanford, an UP Council intern, and you've created BIPI at this MIT program, and also the Kudos app. But there's so many initiatives there. But really the main thing I'm curious about is how do you believe, especially in this like research and technological industries, how do you believe students can pursue similar initiatives in these industries?
That's a good question. I think that my number one piece of advice is probably use your summers really effectively. Mm-hmm. Most of the work I've done in developing tech skills was in the summer, when I've had the chance to really explore things I'm interested in that I wouldn't have the chance to do or dedicate time to in the school year. I do have to say that, like, when I think back about my high school career, as a freshman, like, I didn't really know what I was interested in at all. And I thought it may be entrepreneurship and maybe tech. And quite obviously, by my sophomore and junior year, I had really shifted towards policy and leadership. Mm-hmm. And I think that an awful piece of advice that people often give high school students is that you have to pick one passion and find one thing and be really, really good at it. And I think the really, really good at it part is really important. But to be honest, there are very few people who will find like one or two things that they're super passionate about and diving deep into that. And if you're that person, great. But if you're not, that's totally fine as well. And I think the mistake people make is trying to pigeon themselves into like, I'm just a politics person or I'm just a STEM person. The reality is you're probably not. And so what I found is that there were periods my sophomore year I did LaunchX at MIT, which was a program I'd really recommend anyone applying for. It was kind of an incubator, 4 weeks where we created our own startup at BIPI. And I eventually realized about 6 months in, like, look, I don't actually want to be developing robots to help kids with ADHD, which is a great cause, but like, that's not my passion. But what I really learned from that experience was, how do you create a team of people? How do you identify a problem and then create a solution that really effectively addresses that problem? And the entrepreneur mindset is really what I use to solve, to create Real Talk. And so I think that people always have the assumption that everything that you do has to have some type of tangible outcome. I can say, BIPI, we have 3 prototypes of the robot, mm-hmm. which is amazing. We got to test 2 things, but it didn't go further than that. And that's okay, because the bigger learning from that program was, one, maybe I don't want to be a engineer, and I knew that right away. But the other learning was that being able to develop one, create a product, find an effective solution, and then expand in a way that's sustainable is really important. And that's, I would not have been able to start Real Talk without that experience. So I'm really grateful for that.
No, I think that's completely true. And how, like, regardless of if you don't know your passion or if you don't know what you want to be in the future, you're taking the chance to learn something new. You did that at the MIT program as well. And though it didn't go on to be some like $1 million product or anything, like, you took some valuable skills, you took some valuable lessons. And like, I think one of the most important things is you met other innovative individuals and did something together. And I think that's amazing. And you also mentioned how like your entrepreneurial mindset like has really helped you to create Real Talk and push that forward to the community. And I think that brings on to one of the last questions we have here as we begin to wrap up, is like that whole mindset concept. I honestly think that's one of the more like unnoticed aspects of like one, taking initiative, like also chasing your passions, and also like in today's educational system as well, like really like having that perfect mindset, or having the mindset that fits you. And obviously, given all the experiences you've had, like your entrepreneurial mindset, like, what do you believe is really important for a student to form the perfect mindset?
Yeah, those are some really great observations, Neil.
Thanks.
I think that the number one thing about, actually, I'm going to say, like, the phrase like a perfect mindset probably doesn't exist.
Yeah,
I feel like the idea of perfection, the idea of perfection is probably toxic in itself, because I think that probably like as a middle schooler and for a lot of my life, I was really like trapped by the idea that every initiative I did or everything that I ever tried had to be perfect. And I can tell you right now, there's a lot of things that I've done that I have, one, not worked out, and two, I've actually really hated. When I did my research at Stanford, I loved the topic I was doing, but I realized that I really didn't like working in an isolated work environment. And that's something I've gotten to learn about myself. And so something that's really important to keep in mind is that not everything is going to be enjoyable, and it's important to be able to have those experiences so that you know what you like and don't like to do. Because the biggest thing is that if you're going to put all your time and effort into something that's really important to you, you have to really be passionate about it and authentically. I think that when people try to create or activities or plan their high school experience to get into college, they automatically end up hurting themselves. And I think what I've learned through the college process is that, like, honestly, the whole process is kind of like an empty shoot. You really don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. And I think it's an awful idea to try to plan your high school career based on what college you want to go to. I think what's better is to figure out, and kind of the way that I thought about my high school experience is like, what are the experiences that I'm going to need that are going to help me be successful in college and beyond? And so for me, that was also doing things that do not even appear anywhere in my college application. I've been on the captain of my mock trial team for the last 2 years. That doesn't even appear in my college application because it's not something that was relevant there, but the skills that I've gained working with attorney coaches and being able to just mentor younger students and, you know, practice public speaking have been really invaluable to me. And so the best mindset to have is not an outcome focus, but a journey and skill focused mindset. And everything that you do, think about what can I learn from this, not what will I achieve from this. And when you focus on that, you automatically end up achieving, at least if you work hard.
I think that was the perfect, the most inspirational piece of advice you could have provided us with today. You've given us such like thoughtful insight and a little bit into about your journey and how you're continuing to really push these initiatives, learn whatever you can from this. And I think that's just incredible, especially what you've done in your area, and also to all the different like chapters and really individuals you've impacted. So again, thank you so much for coming on XL Podcast to talk with me. Like, I did not know a lot of this stuff, so I learned so much from this conversation, but I'm sure our audiences and really whoever is going to listen to this will be as well. So thank you again.
No problem. Thanks, Neil.
Yeah, and thank you to everyone out there listening. Just please don't forget to check out all our platforms, Spotify, Instagram, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Anchor. And just check out Real Talk as well. They're doing some incredible stuff. I'm sure they have some stuff planned out in the future. And also for all the content they've done in the past can help you out as well. So please check them out. And I think that about does it. Just continue to stay confident, stay motivated. And especially if you're a student, just take this time to recharge, reevaluate yourself. And when you do that, you'll just continue to work hard. You'll continue to excel. And I think it'll all be this flow that you'll just love. And just continue to stay active on this journey of learning with us. We'll catch you next time.